sugar helps the medicine go down. The medicine go down. Medicine go down.
I love that Mary Poppins music. It means that Dr. Rosemary Stein is joining me here on Faith Radio Mornings, as you often do. Dr. Stein, thanks for coming on again here this week.
Thank you. I enjoy it so much. Actually, that Mary Poppins music, just it's better than coffee.
It is better than coffee. It kind of just starts a day with that sort of sweet jolt of energy to get through our day. And Dr. Stein, I know you run a clinic for families and for kids that really help our children holistically, not just physically, but relationally and spiritually. And as you're dealing with families, I have to ask, do you see a lot of family game nights still happening? I know it was a big part of my growing up. We played Michigan Rummy last night as a family. I see that Scrabble just came out and updated their dictionary with 400 new words. Is this part of family life that you see, or is that a bit of a dying art?
I think, sadly enough, I think it's mostly dying art. I do see a couple of families that tell me that today is game night, and the kid is so excited about it. It's sort of like taking a leash out for a doggy and waving it around, telling them it's game night for the kids. But we're not dedicating ourselves to that because we think that it's not important. And that the time spent around the table as a family doesn't have its place. And, well, sadly enough, that's not true. So I think that all of us that are listening need to reflect on that and make the time for your children. They will listen to the unsaid, the unrecounted message of just spending time with you and not necessarily watching the football game and just looking at the news or anything else that you guys do, or just playing on a video game, just spending time with you with a simple board game. You're worth my time, and you're worth something silly that I would do with you.
It will
be better than medicine.
And I was going to ask how important it is to sort of try to see the world and remember the world through the lens of maybe a 5-year-old or a 7-year-old or a 9-year-old. I know last night my 8-year-old was just devastated that he didn't get a chance to get his bowl of popcorn or get a couple extra rounds of Michigan Rummy. And that really is legitimate devastation. And so to see it through their eyes really helps us come around as parents about what we need to do.
And you made a good point that if you play a game that you knew as a kid, your memories will come back. It'll be like you were 8 again. And then you'll start sharing that with your kids. In my home, we play cards, and also we play dominoes. And since I played dominoes because my family's from the Dominican Republic, when I was a little girl, I'll start, you know, going over those memories, and Hannah will chime in the memories. She'll do the little things that I did as an 8-year-old, even though she's much older than that at this point, because those memories are her memories now. And so choose to, if you're going, I would like for everybody to do that. But if you do, choose games that you played as a kid and watch what happens. It's amazing with the kids. They will absolutely adore it. At first, they might roll their eyes and say, oh, no, not again. But it will become part of who they are.
This is Dr. Rosemary Stein talking with us each about every other week here on Faith Radio Mornings about just parenting tips and how we can come around our kids and dealing with the challenges of the day. And Dr. Stein, I had somebody on the program last week, Jonathan Haidt from New York University, who was talking about the fact that maybe 20, 30 years ago, the average age that parents began to let their kids out on their own for the first time was right around 7, 8, or 9 years old. And then as a result of some of the kidnapping headlines that took place in the 80s and 90s, we became increasingly protective to the point that now the average age has jumped up to 13 to 15 years old. And it sure sounds like there is a pushback or a pendulum swing away from this overprotection, at least among some, that are starting to just let their kids roam through the woods or through the parks. And it's this idea of free-range children. So talk us through this, Rosemary, and in terms of the importance of letting our kids have independence.
Well, it's true. We had such different memories from what our kids have today, and a lot of it revolves around the way the communities are set up. We used to be able to walk to school, walk ourselves back to school from school. Many of us were latchkey kids where we could walk from and to school and then open the door and get inside, even by the time we were 8 or 9. I remember those were some of my memories, and that formed me. But our kids today don't have those kinds of experiences. But we also had the kind of experiences where we lost a key and mom had to come in after work maybe and see us on the stoop. And we had to say, I'm sorry, and you had to cry. because you were not responsible with something that she had given you. Those things really formed you. They made it so that you knew where to put the key from there on out. It was the falling, the mistake that you might have made as a kid that made it so that you understood how to handle yourself. But we're not letting our children make mistakes because we are, in a sense, overprotecting them. But we don't do this just as parents. We're doing it as a society. So I would say that take a step back and look where you're able to take some risk. Don't go all out and make it so that you're putting your child in peril, but you need to be able to make the small risks that your child's going to be able to take. And you tell your kid, you prepare your child beforehand and say, these are the things that might happen. And, you know, if some of these things happen, it's okay. We'll talk about it and we'll go over how you can protect yourself. But with risk, there's the possibility that something not so great's going to happen. And because of that, the child will grow. And you have to be able to ascertain what kind of risk and what kind of danger you're able to assume. So there's a big balance in that. It's not easy to be what they're calling now free-range kid. But it's not about just being a free range. If it's a free range, but you just did it because, that's not going to create a great product. What creates a great product is for the child to be exposed to an environment that is a good environment, a growing up environment, and a maturing environment for that child. And that's where you'll get the best thing that you can for him.
But I think that risk exposure, if we allow them to do sort of stupid small things at age 9 or 10, does it make it maybe less likely that they'd run into sort of big dumb things maybe at 16, 17, 18, 19 when they feel a little bit released from it? Is it helpful to just sort of expose them to risk along the way like that?
Exactly. So choose small things right around 5 or 6 that you think are worthy projects or things. It can even start with, look, I'm going to let you do your homework by yourself when they're just starting off in second grade, and I'll look over it, and if there are mistakes, I'll let that happen. Your kid might call you and they might say, I forgot my lunch, and you might say, well, you're going to have to figure it out. Don't run back and just say, here's your lunchbox that you left. Will your kid be hungry? Yeah, he'll have to figure out how to mooch off of one of his friends, and they'll do that. But don't catch your child for every little mistake and every little situation. They have to fly on their own sometimes, and that's how you build a resilient child.
Dr. Rosemary Stein talking with us on Faith Radio Mornings about just how we can parent our kids and maybe as grandparents too. I know you play a very active role in kids' lives quite often. And when we come back from break, Rosemary, I'd love to get your perspective on some government regulations, maybe at least brought forth in California, that our kids need more sleep, so they're changing the school time. But maybe government regulation isn't the best way to go about doing this for our kids. So more to come with Dr. Rosemary Stein on Faith Radio Mornings. Welcome back to Faith Radio Mornings. I'm your host, Dr. Peter Kapsner, joined in the line by Dr. Rosemary Stein, who comes on regularly here on Faith Radio Mornings to just talk about issues around parenting and our kids and grandparenting, how we can best have our kids grow up to be healthy and whole emotionally and spiritually and physically. And Dr. Stein, before the break, we were talking a bit about building up risk tolerance for our kids, certainly on a physical level as they make mistakes. But does this extend as well to having conversations or about things going on in our country that we can expose them to gently, not overwhelm them with some of the headlines, but kind of grow them up with different ideas as well to expose them so they're not quite so concerned by the time they get to college and beyond that they can even have hard conversations?
Yes, exactly. And we were talking about how many times the government wants to impose what their rules are because parents aren't stepping up. And we see this happening more and more in so many different ways. But one way is that one state, California, has decided to tell us that the children need more sleep, so therefore school all over the state is going to start later. And I think that the idea of children needing more sleep is an absolutely correct one. But on the other hand, I think that the government oversteps its boundaries when it tells us how to raise our children.
Yes, it's such an important conversation to have, and especially about responsibility. I know we have a caller on the line from Bismarck. That's John. And John has a question for you, Dr. Stein, about Alliance. So, John, good morning. Thanks for joining Faith Radio Mornings.
Good morning.
So, yeah, what's your question for Dr. Stein?
I was just kind of curious. What is a proper age, do you think, to start with, allowance? Like, my daughter's 4, my son's 6, and me and my wife has already started, but they had to do, little chores around the house, make sure they stay up on top of cleaning their room and helping out with dishes here and there. Do you think that would be too young of an age for my daughter, or how would that affect them in the long run? Do you think they'll put more of a focus on the money instead of God itself?
That's a great question, John. Dr. Stein, what would you say to John?
No, I don't necessarily think that it would put more focus on the money. I mean, we live on Earth, so money is going to be of some importance no matter what. And just because you introduce it early doesn't mean that they'll put more focus on it. On the other hand, before we start giving them an allowance, they need to show an interest in having money. And what is money? And why can you go up to, the McDonald's and hand over money and you get a Big Mac? It doesn't make sense. Other places you give them paper, you don't get something back. So the kid has to be genuinely interested in this concept of how does money work and what is happening there. And then you explain that money is stored labor or stored work. And the kid starts thinking, wow, what does that mean? Well, mom and dad go to work, and you get something called money. And that money means that mom or dad worked, and you're exchanging that for things that you might need. You can work, too. And so what I'm saying is that you have to introduce the concept, that you have to build that up. And you have to, and I think it's interesting to the kid if you say, so starting at this age in our home, we're going to go ahead and do that. And because you're this age and you have more work, you get this amount of money. And because you're this age and you get less work, you get this amount of money. And it's not that you're a boy or you're a girl or you're this, you know. It's just that you do different things. And for different things, I might give you an X amount of money. These are just examples of things to think about and how to introduce this concept so that you make it so that it's something that they value, that they treasure, that they'll think about, and that they'll be able to understand the concept of money. And so that's what I would say, just and small things to start with that they're able to do but are a little bit challenging, because it needs to be challenging for them to grow and to mature. So think about what challenges them and what they might not like so much, but they could grow to like, and think of some of the chores that you used to do when you were a kid.
Dr. Stein, John, thanks for the question. Dr. Stein, great answer to the allowance question. Do you think ages 4 and 6 is too early for that, or do you think you can start at that age, or maybe 8 and 10? What would you suggest is a good age to have those conversations?
I think that it depends on the child. Like I said, if they start showing an interest in what is money and how do I get money, I think that that's a time to pursue it. If the child is completely disinterested in what is money, how do I get money, how do I go into a store, then you're going to be spinning your wheels because that kid's not going to really get the lesson. It's all about really a fun lesson than anything else, which builds responsibility. But the kid's going to give you the cue. There's no real set age, but I would say probably around 6 to 8 is when they start really being interested, and you can start teaching them about different bills and money and the concept of exchanging work for money.
Dr. Stein, we have just about a minute left or so, but I want at least to have you touch on the conversation coming out of California that they are mandating potentially that schools have to start at a later time to give kids an extra possibility of sleep. But at the end of the day, is it the parent responsibility to have our kids go to sleep at the right time and get the sleep they need as opposed to the government?
It sure is. And I see this all the time. The kids are tired. They're not working well. They're irritable. They're not having breakfast at home. And then everybody's wondering why the kid's not doing well. And when I start asking them what time the kids are going to sleep, I'll get an 8 or a 9-year-old that says he's going to sleep at 10. And whoa there, I'll talk to the kid about why it's important so the kid can go home and accept what mom and dad have to say. And mom will almost always turn around and say, you see? And it's like we're ceding our authority back to our children because we think that when our children tell us something, Johnny's also going to sleep at 10, that that's relevant. And so go back to when you were a child, what time were you going to sleep? And then you build that and you say, okay, the time for this year old child is this age, and that's the way we set the rule. And for the government to impose on us what time and how much sleep they should be getting, it's merely because we're not stepping up as parents.
And Dr. Stein, that's so helpful. Just the tips that you have for parents and for grandparents. And if our listeners want to engage with more of your information and other places, they can reach out to contact you?
Absolutely. I have a page on Facebook. That's Rosemary Stein, MD. And I do have a couple of web pages I have. They're also Rosemary Stein, MD, or based on my book, which is Who Needs a Village? It's a Mom Thing, which you can also buy on Amazon. But I'm in North Carolina. I have a busy practice. And so if you happen to be in the center part of North Carolina, look up IFC Pediatrics or International Family Clinic. And my motto at the clinic is parents need to be in the driver's seat.
Love it, Dr. Stein. Thanks so much for joining us here on Faith Radio Mornings, and look forward to our next conversation. We'll take a break, and we'll wrap up the first hour of our show.